There are two generalized errors, if you will, when we think of the past. More than that, because of course human beings and our ability to create error is really quite extraordinary. But there's two, and the two that come to mind are the first is that whatever is old is fundamentally better because it's old. And the second is that whatever is old is fundamentally worse because it's old. Nothing more than that. And there are people who actually tend in one direction or the other, and I'm one of them. I tend to be a very small C conservative when it comes to just about everything. We're not talking about politics, that's another day, and if you insist on talking about it, we'll arrange some time and not bother anyone else. I've never been one of those people who thinks that we should change something just because it's old or because it's been done for a long time. To me, the notion of change for the sake of change is kind of crazy. But not everybody thinks that way. But as I was looking at the texts for this week, something that struck me, and particularly coming out of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, is that old ways aren't always better ways. That's where the sermon title comes from. This idea that what people did in the past isn't always better. And I think that's something that we can consider, or at least reflect on with profit in the church, because we tend to be a conservative, not terribly rapidly moving kind of organization. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Once again, I think change for the sake of change is kind of crazy. Changing something just because you've had it for a long time doesn't always make a lot of sense to me. But what Paul is telling us to do, as much as anything in this passage, is he's reminding us that just because people who have done something in the past doesn't mean that we should do it ourselves. In fact, we see Paul telling us, or telling the Corinthians, and then us, don't be like your ancestors. Don't be idolaters. Don't be immoral. Don't test the Lord. Don't grumble. And of course, I'm sure many of you are thinking, well, of course we're not going to do that. Why would we do that? Well, they did. And if we're going to look to our ancestors, if we're going to look to those who went before as a model for what we should do now, we have to be careful. And not because everything they did was wrong. We look at these exact same people, the ones that Paul says, don't be like this. These are the same people that up stakes in the middle of the night in Egypt and walked across the Red Sea. They stepped out in faith. They had things that they did that we can emulate with profit. But we can't just try and become them. And maybe that's what I'm getting at as much as anything. If we look at what's been done before and say that we're going to continue doing that just because it's been done before, we can very easily miss some really important things. Inertia is not a virtue in and of itself. Continuing on doing things exactly the same as you always have isn't of value in and of itself. One of our ongoing challenges, of course, with this whole notion of old ways not always being better is that because we didn't live through them, we often have this, almost a rosy hue among the things in the past. And so we look at things in the past and we think, well, they must have been better. You know how it is. You know, you go back a few generations and everybody's better looking. And they cooked better. And they made better use of their time and they did all of these things. It's very easy for us to look at what happened before and say that that was better and we should try and do that. And there's nothing wrong with looking to the past for examples of what to do now. But if we're not careful, we'll start discounting what we're doing now in favor of what was done in the past, and that may or may not do us any good. This most frequently shows up in our own lives. When I was in college, I lived in residence for the first 3 years I was there. And it was a Bible college and a conservative evangelical denomination, so we had rules. We had a curfew. I went back to college and I was in my middle 20s and suddenly I had a curfew. Very strange. And if you lived in residence, you had to be part of the meal plan, and so you had to eat in the cafeteria at the appointed times. But what I didn't realize at first, or what I might not have predicted, was what a bonus this was. What a true blessing. Because I knew where I was going to be every night, at least during the week. I think curfew was 11. Maybe it was midnight on the weekend, that kind of thing. But I was in, and I was going to eat at these particular times. I didn't even have to clean up after myself. Take your dishes and put them back on the tray and push them through the slot in the wall, and you were done. And through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, what I ended up doing in those 3 years was taking advantage of that time that I might otherwise have spent in other directions, probably less profitable, running around and just doing whatever you do when you're that age after midnight. Instead, I spent a lot of time in Scripture, on my classes, thinking, reflecting, becoming, in a very real sense, becoming the kind of person I am now. If I'm not careful, I'll look back on those 3 years and say, that's the way it should be. That I should be spending that kind of time on my devotional practices. I should be spending that much time reading and studying. Because it was successful. It was good for me. I grew an immense amount. But if I look at that old way and say it's better than what I am now, what I've done is I've completely discounted the difference in context. When I was 27, I didn't even have to do my own dishes. At 53, I'm married. I have kids. I have a grandson who lives in our house. My wife's in grad school. Everyone in the house except me and the one-year-old are in school. Who do you think does the cooking? Does most of the laundry? Does these things? Because I can. But if I somehow look at the context I have now and say, oh, there's something wrong here. I should be spending an hour or two a day in these particular kinds of exercises I did when I was 27. Well, first of all, it's not going to work because I'm not 27 anymore. I need more sleep than I did when I was 27. I don't have the energy I did when I was 27 to concentrate, to zero in that same way. And I certainly don't have the freedom of time and schedule that I did then. If I tell myself that those years, and those were great years, if I tell myself that that's how it should be, I'm going to discount all the wonderful blessings I have now. I'm going to beat myself up on a regular basis for not doing what I simply cannot do. Just because I did something back then. Well, of course, none of us are going to do this. But isn't it a temptation now and then? Isn't it a temptation for us to look at what we're doing now and saying, oh, it was better back then? And sometimes it was. I don't want to discount the past in any way either. But we can only look to the past and take what's of value there and apply it to the present if we pay attention to what the present actually is. We're older. We have different kinds of responsibilities. We live in a different world. We can look at church history, and if we're so inclined, we can bemoan the fact that our average church service takes maybe an hour, when back then, sermons were an hour. I'm not sure I'd consider that a good thing, and I'm the one who does them. But if we look back then and say that's how it should be, we're going to lose sight of the fact that the world in which we live, that doesn't work as well. If we look around and we look down on ourselves and at our fellow churchgoers and say, well, why aren't we there on a Good Friday service? Why aren't we there at prayer meetings? Why don't we have two services a Sunday? We're losing sight of where we are now. We have to live in the world we're in. We have to live the lives that we're in. If I am so inclined, to be hard on myself because I don't spend an hour and a half in some kind of a devotional practice. I need to ask the question, what don't I do then? Because back when I was doing that kind of thing, there was no cost to anyone else. I didn't even keep my roommate awake. I don't think it was possible to keep my roommate awake. There's a spiritual gift of sleeping. I think he had it. He could sleep through anything, which was great. Best roommate you could imagine. But if I try and do now what I did then, what am I giving up? Which of my responsibilities am I not properly discharging? Well, there's many. There's nothing wrong with me looking back to those old days and rejoicing in them and glad for everything that they provided for me, because they provided a lot. But if I somehow think that's the only way I can live my life, then I probably made a big mistake getting married, having children, getting a job. All of these things interfere with that schedule, because that was the schedule for then. It's not the schedule for now. Those old ways were not what I need now. They weren't the same as what Paul is telling people not to do. They weren't idolatrous. They weren't immoral. But they won't fit now. Old ways aren't always better ways. And they're not always better because Christ isn't old. Christ is new to every generation. He's new to every day. Our abilities are opportunities to be with Him and to be with His people are for this day, not for our best day in the past. Lent provides many opportunities for us. It's not just a time of privation. It's not just a time to exercise self-discipline, although there's nothing wrong with that. Lent is a time that we can use to reflect. And what I would encourage all of us to do is to reflect on those things that we continue to do because we've always done them, and decide whether those are the things we should continue to do. Because there will be those things. There are lots of things that we continue to do and always will, because they're good. Worship has changed. The shape of worship has changed, but we still worship, and we always will. That old way isn't going to change, because this is part of what makes us a believing community. And for us as individuals, maybe through this Lenten season, spend some time thinking about what it is that you're doing and what you've always been doing. And maybe it'll change. It doesn't have to. There are lots of things that you've been doing all of your life, or all of your life as an active believer, that you will continue to do because they feed your soul. And that's wonderful. But doing them on purpose, rather than simply through inertia, by looking at these old ways and seeing if they aren't always better, but being open to the fact that they're exactly what you need, is a really good use of the Lenten season, I think. A time of reflection, a time of coming closer to Jesus. And maybe that will mean a change. Maybe you will change some of your devotional practices. Maybe you'll change the time you pray or how you pray. I don't know. And maybe nothing will change. But if nothing changes because you've taken a close and careful look at it and said, this is exactly what I should be doing for this time, then won't that be an encouragement? Of course it will. Old ways aren't always better ways. I had several sermon titles. And most of them tended to be a little more closed off. But one of the things about a title like Old Things Aren't Always Better Ways is the implicit sense that sometimes they are. This isn't a call to toss out the old simply because it's old. I've already said how much I don't live my life that way or think that way. It's a time to look at those ways, to reflect on where we've come from and how we got here, to see what it is that we're doing now that we've always done that does feed our soul, and to see if maybe there are some things we've always done and we just do them because we do. Maybe those are things that we can look at changing, experimenting with, trying something new. That's another good thing to do during Lent. Is to look at something new, something different, as an example or as an opportunity to see how else you might connect with God. So whatever you do in the balance of this Lenten season, do it on purpose. Look at those old things and keep doing them or find new ones, whatever is best. But know that we do them that we might continue to become the people we were created to be. And in that process, become more and more like Jesus.